Well, good evening. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. I'm finding victory over my addiction to alcohol and working on the rest of life, and my name is Jack. Hi there. Well, if you got the email, the weekly email that we send out, you might have seen that Daniel was supposed to be teaching tonight, and he does a great job with this lesson. But he had mentioned earlier in the week that his wife was going to be having some surgery today. He was pretty sure he'd make it to teach tonight. And then I got a text about 30 minutes ago. And so you're stuck with me tonight. So again, exactly. I know, that's a bummer. So prayers for Daniel's wife's quick recovery, and just a welcome to celebrate recovery to all of you, as Scott I know already did. And just hopefully you're taking some time this Holy Week to reflect on what was going on in Jesus' life this week, this Wednesday, as we move into Good Friday and Saturday and Easter Sunday. And just what a great time this is, and a very special time of year, excuse me, for me, in spending so many years in the darkness as an atheist slash agnostic, depending on what day of the week it was. And Easter had a whole different meaning to me back then in the Easter times. And just what a change that is. And I was just sharing with somebody earlier tonight that it seemed around COVID time and the world got crazy, and all of a sudden I kind of lost a little touch with Holy Week and Easter and Good Friday and all that, and it's really coming back for me strong this year. And so I just hope that you're able to spend time in the Word, in some meditation, in community, and I'm just so glad that you're taking some time out of that special time to be here tonight. So our lesson tonight is as we always have with our lessons, they're grounded in a principle and a beatitude. I'm sorry, a principle and a step, and we've been kind of hovering in these two principles and steps here for a little bit. So principle four is where we're still at tonight in this lesson, which is openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. And we had the confess lesson. Ron taught that, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and tonight we have admit. And that's kind of interesting. We'll talk about that. The beatitude that undergirds that from Matthew is happy are the pure in heart. Matthew 5:8. And in step five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And James 5:16, who we've spent a lot of time in Ron's lesson talking about this, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And just want to highlight that again. Confess to each other, pray for each other so that you may be healed. It's not that you may be forgiven. What Jesus did, what we celebrate this week, that took care of the salvation piece, the forgiveness piece. This is the healing piece that we're talking about. And it continues on with our lesson on admit tonight. And so if you have your handout, this is one of those few lessons in Celebrate Recovery that does not have an acrostic, but you still have some work to do if you're so inclined, some things to fill in, and I'll give you that information as we go through the lesson tonight. But just kind of talking just a moment about that the two lessons back-to-back with a testimony. Michael's last week, I was gone, but I've heard it before, and what a great testimony that is, of confess and then admit. And to, I think, many of us, and certainly to the rest of the world, a lot of times those words might get interchanged and they might be used, and they certainly can be in casual conversation. But in the recovery ministry, there's a pretty big difference between confess and admit. And there's a reason it's confess first and admit second. At least I believe there's a reason with the order of these steps and these lessons. And if we think about confession, we're talking about coming clean here. We're talking about, putting it out there. And in confession really gets our heart and mind connected to God. Okay, that's what I look at the confession piece. We agree with God, in other words, that sin is wrong. And that is essentially, that's another definition of confess or confession. And I remember sitting in small group a couple weeks ago talking about, I've been amazed, as a relatively new, I don't know when I get to stop saying that, Christian, 10 plus years now, but that I didn't, since I didn't grow up in the church, since I didn't have church baggage, since I didn't have, you know, any number of things, but the number of people I run into who are Christians that really don't like that confession piece. They really like the salvation piece, the get out of hell free card kind of thing when they accepted Christ. But then all the stuff that they're continuing to do that's sinful, they kind of feel like, I don't need to talk about that, you know? And that's, of course, the exact opposite track that we take in this ministry, where we're putting it out there. But I think that confession piece is important, because I don't know, I'm going to go on a limb here and say that you make mistakes, just like I do, that you're not perfect, just like I'm not perfect. And so when I do make those sinful errors, when I do sin, I do need to confess that. I do need to, once again, it's not about the salvation piece, it's about the healing piece. It's about where my heart is and reconnecting, saying, God, I agree with you. Because I can make all sorts of sin seem fun, fabulous, okay, not really important, all those things that the world trains us. Confession brings me back to God, and to God's standard, that's sin, that's wrong. I need to confess it. I'm not in that moment acting in His image, and I am an image bearer. And so confession gets us connected with God. And so I look at the confession piece as more of an internal process that has to come first. The heart has to be in the confession place. The heart has to be connected to God in confession before you can move to the admit stage. And admitting gets our hearts and minds kind of more connected to each other, I guess, or another person, or our humanity, or our sin nature. And I think it ultimately leads us to a realization that we need a Savior. And so this time of year, there's a lot of, what do you want to call them, Easter Christians or Christmas Christians or whatever, but a lot of folks that will be coming through the doors of the churches that we all attend. Some of you attend here, others, you know, other churches. And just be aware that God's moving him to that church on that day for a reason, possibly out of obligation, possibly out of habit. But I think there's a deeper reason there. And so as we admit our sin, as we admit our shortcomings, there's no other conclusion that I can find that's acceptable other than I need a Savior. I find out very quickly how messed up I am and how out of my control, meaning to do the things that Christ does for me, redeem them, make me a better person. I'm just not good at that. I'm not good at making me a better person. Jesus is really good at that. And so as I admit those things that don't make me a good person, it takes me, it brings me to Him. And that's what He's all about. I always believe he's in for anything that gets you to Him, whatever that is, and get your heart connected to Him. In admitting, we kind of own it. Okay, confessing, it's more internal. We're confessing to God, but admitting it now, because we're talking about in the process of basically giving your inventory. When you go through a step study, when you write out your inventory, we spent a number of weeks kind of talking about this inventory process and sponsorship and the environment that we do it in. We're going to kind of continue on that tonight. But the admitting piece is the practical speaking these things to somebody else, okay? And so there's a few things that admitting does for us. And if you think about it, why in the world, what kind of sick world would you have to live in to think that it's a good idea to actually share all of your crud with somebody else? Where does that come from, okay? That's just not normal. And that's oftentimes why you don't see the rest of the world doing it. That's why you see people putting up the barriers, putting on the masks, smiling through all sorts of sin, whatever it may be. And the answer to that question is the question. It's precisely because we do live in a sick world, in a broken world, and therefore are prone to infection and sickness and brokenness that we need to conduct that searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. In order to first gain understanding of ourselves, of sin, and then eventually acceptance of the condition. And I think that's where also one of the differences between admit and confess. At the admit stage, it needs to be moving into the acceptance piece. And that's a very powerful word. That, to me, that's one of the most powerful words, there, I can ring that together, in the Serenity Prayer. Accepting the things I cannot change. It's not just saying taking them. It's not just saying dealing with them. Accepting them. And that's a heart level. I fought for many years with the idea of accepting that I was an alcoholic. I am totally, completely comfortable with that as part of my life now. And truly grateful for it in any number of ways. One, it brings me here, brings me in contact with you. It brought me to Christ, and it's enriched my life in so many ways, this recovery process, what God has done with what the enemy did through my addiction. And so acceptance is powerful, and I think when we admit to another person, it goes a long way into helping us get comfortable with that, okay? So in your handout, you've got a couple of things. It says, why admit my wrongs? And some things that we lose, some things that we gain. And so some of the things we lose our sense of isolation is the first fill-in. And that's a big deal for in this ministry. It's one of the most powerful and most often repeated things that you hear people say. I thought I was the only one that struggled with. I thought I was the only one that did those things. You hear testimony week after week after week of people that at some level you probably can relate to. And you realize very quickly in a ministry that has transparency as one of its cornerstones that you're not the only person. You're not that special, okay, as they say, from that respect. Whether it's not that exact character defect, it's something that's related to it. Okay, that type of idea. So it takes us out of isolation. We realize we are in a community. And in this community, we're in a community and a recovery community. But honestly, the world is broken. Everybody, whether they're here at CR or not, is broken to some degree. And as we admit that to another person, and as we accept it in our lives, you will find your level of patience and understanding grow. Because you realize that. And you don't pity people and you don't look down on them with condescension or anything like that. You just realize how messed up I am. And so at a certain level, my critique, my anger, my frustration that the world's not working according to Jack every moment falls short. I was reading in Job today, because I always like to touch base in Job 38, where God's talking, kind of responding to Job, getting Job kind of focused on who God is and who Job is. And I need that. I need that in my life. I start whining about the littlest things, and I start taking God's, you know, role in my life on, and it just refocuses me. So we lose our sense of isolation, and it ties into the next one. We will begin to lose our unwillingness to forgive. As I mentioned, as we realize and admit to other folks, it should be a natural response. And forgiveness is one of those things that I struggle with. I find it uncannily natural to hold a grudge sometimes on things. I don't know where that comes from. How come that's so easy to do? But as I realize, you know, my level of brokenness, my level of imperfection, as I have to start sharing with somebody else the stuff that I've done, and it brings to mind the people that have forgiven me, then it's a natural response for me to build that into my heart. And so that's another thing that we lose, is that unwillingness to forgive, because we've been hopefully at some point the benefited from others forgiving us. And perhaps then when we get the real powerful stuff, when we can start forgiving others, because that's just a tremendous load off of your heart. We lose our inflated false pride. That was huge for me, and pride is still a very big issue in my life that I have to battle. But false pride, because I was really not a very good person, and yet I wanted everybody to think I was. And so there was a lot of image creation and saying the right things and laughing at the right times and not at the others and all that kind of stuff. And just making myself feel, because I had done or said the right things, that I was somehow better that way, when my heart was just rotten. And so as we admit, we have to acknowledge and accept that rot, and we have to get it out. And so therefore, it's really, really tough. it's the idea for in my life of, as I really started admitting what my addiction had taken me to, it was really hard to have a lot of pride of a guy that would get up and start drinking it, you know, as soon as he could in the morning, and would drink throughout the day and try to pretend he was sober and pretend he was working hard and pretend he was, you know, a decent husband and a father. As I speak those words out in my inventory, or as I'm speaking, you know, admitting these things, that pride just goes away. There's nothing to be proud of in that, because it's all garbage anyway. And so we lose that sense of false pride. And finally, we lose our sense of denial is the last fill in that what do we lose part. Once again, very hard to be in denial as you are admitting and accepting at the heart level all of that stuff. Because it seems so simple. It seems like, well, of course you'd be out of denial. But just think, meditate on that for just a moment, because denial gets all of us at some level. And some of us have spent any number of years in denial. Some of us can pop back into it pretty quickly as well. And so the quickest antidote, the quickest relief, or the quickest moving in the other direction is admitting, you know, getting out of denial by saying, I'm screwed up, I'm an alcoholic, I'm a whatever, you know, I did this, once, and getting that out. And so it brings you into reality, and that's where we need to live. As our pastor, senior pastor here says, reality is your friend. And I spend any number of years dodging that friend, because I didn't think it was. I thought that was the enemy, and denial was the friend. And that's the way it goes for many of us. All right. Benefits. So not only some of those things you lose, but some additional benefits of admitting all your wrongs and your sins to another person. One, we gain the healing, as it talks about in that scripture, in the James scripture. Gain the healing the Bible promises, whether it's in that scripture or any other places in scripture where it's talking about being a community, sharing with one another, you know, admitting your faults. We gain freedom. I've seen it in any number of inventories that have been given to me. I see it even if they don't say it. I see it in their face, in their posture. It is literally almost as if something has been lifted from them, and the freedom. And how we can so easily get caught up into thinking that this religion, this walk with Christ, is going to be the thing that constricts us. All these rules, or I got to act this way or whatever. And it's the exact opposite. If you're truly walking with Christ, that is so freeing. And when we admit our wrongs, there's just a tremendous sense of freedom. And I talk about that often, as I talk about the inventory being the most uncomfortable way to get comfortable. And it happens. Even just living and walking a better life, it happens. I remember just the freedom I felt when I was not spending all my time thinking about where to get my next drink, where to hide the current drink, how to cook the books and the household budget so that my wife wouldn't see how much money was going where, where I needed to have breath mints, where if I returned the rental car, how many did I clean all the bottles out of, you know, or not? All of that worry and stress and planning and conniving evaporated. Had as I say, I had a lot more time and a lot more money when I came clean, so that freedom. And finally, we gain support is the last fill in there. That's what this ministry is all about. That's what the large group setting is. That's what your accountability partners are. That's what the small group is. That's what dinner is. That's what, you know, most everything is in Celebrate Recovery is support. And I want this place to be a place where people can walk in and feel it, whether it's a greeting, whether it's a hug, whether it's sharing or asking about something in their life because you know them a little bit more. And knowing that as we walk this walk in this broken world and as we sin, as we get tripped up, that there's a place that we can return to and be supported. And that frustrates. Many of you have loved ones that aren't in recovery. Some of you might be in relationships that are strained because of either your previous life, maybe that other person is still in some of that life. And many times I see significant others or spouses baffled at the support that their significant other or spouse is getting here. They want them to be punished. They want us to tell them how bad they are and how much they're screwing up. Most of us know that when we walk in the doors. We wouldn't be here. You know, most of us kind of get that, even if we still have a little bit of false pride and denial going on. But so we're going to take that tack of holding you to account, first requesting that you ask to be held to account by getting some accountability partners, by getting a sponsor, by attending regularly, by getting into small group and actually sharing. We'll be talking over the next month or so about getting involved, getting plugged into this ministry in volunteer opportunities. There's any number of little things that we can use help on that happen behind the scenes, and we just have a crew that loves doing it. But others, we want others to participate in that. You need to, you know, taking ownership of this ministry and giving back. And that's part of your recovery as well, getting out of your head, helping somebody else. And so, but many times you do that when you approach somebody, newcomer or oldcomer, doesn't matter, and ask how they're doing, offer support, become a part of their life in a, not in a codependent way, but just in a way that they know they've got somebody that's a fellow traveler, you know, if you will, someone that they can speak candidly to, someone that they can share honestly with. So we gain healing, freedom, and support as we admit. All right, let me see if I had anything else jotted down. I love Mark 2:17. It says, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. And call us he does. And I heard something else at a men's retreat a couple weekends ago, and I liked it, and you may have heard this, and I think I'd even heard this, but I just kind of forgotten about it, in how God looks at us, not as former sinners, realizing that he looks at us differently. Many times I look at myself as a former sinner, but he doesn't. But Jesus came for this sinner. And as we admit, as I said, we acknowledge that need for that doctor. We acknowledge the need to be healed. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, a perfect place to be reliant upon Jesus. And so as we move into our Easter weekend, just what a great lesson to kind of have it timed to just be thinking about that. And also both sides of the last two lessons over the last couple weeks. Have you confessed? Are you actively confessing to God, connecting with him on that level? Do you understand that when you're confessing, you're not reminding him that you're a sinner or a former sinner? He's got this weird amnesia thing. I don't know how he does it. You're just simply saying, I agree with you that that's wrong. And I can do better with your power, with your spirit. And then, are you admitting? If you've done your inventory, have you given your inventory? Have you sat down with that other person? Okay. If you are a long time in recovery, are you consistently doing daily inventories, where sometimes it's just an assessment, but other times it's actually sitting down with your sponsor and just talking, you know, talking through some things, admitting some shortfalls, some areas where you screwed up, and keeping that pride in check so that you can continue to be healed and supported by each other. All right, let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your son. Thank you for sending that doctor for those of us, and in reality it's all of us, that need his healing. Thank you for being with us, your son, your spirit, as we endeavor to admit our shortcomings, admit our wrongs to another person. Thank you for bringing people into our lives that we can admit these things to. Thank you for just the miracle of a community of folks that are vulnerable and broken and know it, and yet in love with you. And that love gives us the strength to share the ugly and the uncomfortable and the less flattering pieces of our lives. And Lord, I just pray that we continue to consistently look to agree with you in this, as far as sin is in our lives, and that you just continue to bless us and challenge us, both in this ministry and without. And Lord, I pray that we just take time in the next few days and as we come into the weekend to really get our minds as best as we can around what you did and what your son did. I pray these things in your name. Amen.